Vasudevasya Devakyam Jato Bhujendra Bandhane Shakyeshwar Bhagavan Asya Sham Ajena Bhiyakshitaha
The Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, being prayed to by Brahma to bring welfare to the earth, was begotten by Vasudeva in the womb of his wife Devaki in the prison of the king of Bhoja. Purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Although there is no difference between the Lord's pastimes of appearance and disappearance, the devotees of the Lord do not generally discuss the subject matter of his disappearance. Vidura inquired indirectly from Uddhava about the incident of the Lord's disappearance by asking him to relate Krishna Katha, or topics on the history of Lord Krishna. Thus, Uddhava began the topics from the very beginning of his appearance as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki in the prison of Kamsa, the king of the Bhojas at Mathura. The Lord has no business in this world, but when he is so requested by devotees like Brahma, he descends on the earth for the welfare of the entire universe. This is stated in Bhagavad Gita, 4th chapter, text 8. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge.
The great devotee Vidura, in the mood of very intense separation from the Lord and his devotees, is inquiring from Uddhava about Krishna and about Krishna's associates. It is the most prominent attribute of a great devotee of the Lord to be always eager to hear the message of Krishna. And similarly, Uddhava, being a great Vaishnava, displayed the quality of always being eager to speak about Krishna. Srila Prabhupada once said, when they asked, how do we know who is an advanced devotee? His response was very simple. One who is addicted to hearing and chanting about Krishna. One who simply can think of nothing else. Just as one is addicted to drugs or addicted to alcohol or addicted to so many of the vices of this world, that addiction overwhelms one's entire consciousness. Cannot do without it. It is impossible. Similarly, Krishna, who is all attractive, when he conquers our hearts by his causeless mercy, then Our heart longs to always be in the presence of Krishna. And because Krishna is absolute, the message about Krishna, the sound of Krishna's holy name, are none different than Krishna. Therefore, devotees cannot stop talking and hearing about Krishna. There is no limit. Srila Prabhupada explains, in material subject matters, we can hear something so many times and then we become bored with that subject. Just like professors of a particular subject, they may teach it, but ultimately it just becomes a matter of duty and responsibility for their livelihood. But devotees whose hearts are actually being purified, the more they hear about Krishna, the more they speak about Krishna, the more their heart is longing to hear more and speak more. Even the same pastime, a devotee can speak for all of eternity and experience deeper love and realizations every time he repeats it. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the same mantra, the same 16 words, you may say, we are chanting. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Kirtaniya Sadahari, that we should do it constantly, forever, all of eternity, these 16 words. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, how he and his devotees would go deeper and deeper and deeper into absorption and ecstatic love for Krishna as they would chant. Sometimes when Nityananda Prabhu and his associates would have kirtan, they would go on 3 months without stop. This took place at Raghava Pandit's house in Panihati. One example. They were having kirtan, just chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And how the devotees were intoxicated with love of God. Some were jumping off high trees chanting Hare Krishna. Some were dancing on the most delicate ends of the twigs of the branches of trees. Some were uprooting trees and dancing with them. The devotees were embracing each other. They were crying in great spiritual happiness. And in this way, 24 hours a day, they gave up sleeping, they gave up eating, they gave up everything for 3 months, only to chant these 16 names of God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And Thakur Haridas, when he was chanting Maha Mantra, 300,000 names a day, 196 rounds. And he was never getting tired of chanting. It was not even an austerity for him. It was just natural. And the more he chanted, the more he wanted to chant and chant and chant. And when his body was so old that it just could hardly keep such a vow of chanting, he decided, let me die. There's no use for this body if I cannot be chanting Maha Mantra 24 hours a day. Haridas Thakur, when he wasn't chanting Maha Mantra, he was preaching the glories of Maha Mantra. But at all times, his mouth, his mind, his life was completely immersed in glorifying Krishna. Srila Rupa Goswami prayed, I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. These two syllables, when they come and dance upon my tongue, I desire millions and millions of tongues to taste that name, to speak that name. And when that name enters into my ears, millions upon millions of ears I long to achieve. Two ears are not enough. And when that name enters into my heart, it conquers all other desires, all other conceptions. That name is the ruler, the controller of my life. That is the longing of a Vaishnava. Gopis, when they would see Krishna, they would condemn the creator Brahma because he made eyelids that blink. How many times do you think your eyelids blinked during this class already? Can anyone count? If it was a significant part of your life, you would know exactly how many times. How many times did your eyes blink yesterday? Do you even remember one time it blinked? Because it's so fast, it's so insignificant. But for the gopis, that blink of an eye was blocking their view of Krishna's beautiful form. And it was intolerable for them. That blink of an eye was... It was like centuries, it was like millenniums for them of not being able to see Krishna. Therefore, they said that Brahma is not an expert creator. He did not make these bodies proper to see Krishna. And there's no other purpose of the body than to praise and see Krishna. This is what we should be longing for. Now we come, Radha and Krishna are here. We're blinking our eyes, we don't even notice. Radha Gopinath, when Mangal Arati comes and they're showing themselves, we would rather just stay in bed and keep our eyes closed altogether. Not even blinking, just let them be closed, glued shut in sleep. Let me, no one disturb me. Somehow or other, now I have to get up. It's the regulation. I have to get up to open these eyes and perform the great austerity of seeing Radharani and Gopinath. That was not the gopis' consciousness. They wanted to just see Krishna 24 hours a day. And we are chanting japa, attentively looking at our counter beads, hoping for the moment that the 16th bead will come down so we can do something else. And we want to hear so many other topics. Our ears longing and yearning to hear what the latest news is as far as who's doing what, where, and how. But Rupa Goswami, he wanted millions and millions and millions of tongues and ears to chant the holy names and hear the holy names forever. And as far as hearing the wonderful pastimes of the Lord, Maharaj Parikshit and Shukadeva Goswami, they did not concern themselves for eating or sleeping. 7 days, all day, just drinking the nectar of Harikatha. Dharma Shvanushtata Pungshang Vishvakshena Katashi Yatnot Padiye Yatidatam Shame Vikevalam. Whatever occupation we may perform, if it does not culminate in the intense eagerness to hear about Krishna and chant the holy names and glories of Krishna, then it is all a waste of time. We may make millions of dollars, hundreds and millions of crores of rupees. We may conquer all of our opponents and become prime minister, president, or board, chairman of the board of big corporations. We may become famous. We may have beautiful family and wonderful house and nice home and good clothes and healthy body and good foods. But all that is all a waste of time. The only real valuable attainment in this human life is
that whatever we have done, we have somehow or other stimulated within our heart the intense eagerness to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. That is real wealth, because that wealth will purchase Krishna. Srimvatam sukata krishna punya sravana kirtana hridyanta stohya bhadrani vidunoti suritsatam. When Krishna sees his devotee eager to hear his message, eager to chant his glories, Krishna becomes so pleased with that devotee, from within his heart he cleans away all impurities and reveals his eternal nature. That is real wealth. That is the wealth when Yamaraj sees we have that wealth, he will bow down with folded hands. Death itself will be bribed by that wealth. Krishna himself will be purchased by that devotee. So what other priority is there in life than hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord in the assembly of the Lord's devotees? Everything else within the universe, if not utilized for the purpose of awakening that eagerness for hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, is a waste of time. Not only a waste of time, but the greatest act of cheating our own soul and those souls who are near and dear to us. The soul is longing for Krishna. The soul is not longing for any of the progress of this world. Why should we cheat our own soul? It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam that those who are killers of animals in their souls, they cannot take pleasure in hearing about Krishna. By engaging in material life and by trying to enjoy material sound vibration, we are actually killing the very instinctive devotional nature of our soul. So Vidura is inquiring all about Krishna, and Uddhava is blissfully narrating the glories of Krishna. In this particular verse, Uddhava is remembering Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is prayed to by Lord Brahma for the welfare of the earth, and was begotten by Vasudeva in the womb of his wife Devaki, in the prison of the king of Bhoja. And Srila Prabhupada in this purport brings out the natural feelings of a Vaishnava. Vidura was actually very interested to know whether Krishna may have disappeared from the world, because he had not yet actually heard this news. He was on pilgrimage, and therefore he was isolated from hearing any of the news about the Yadu dynasty. So he was asking about, indirectly, Prabhupada says, did Krishna disappear from this world? If so, how and why? And Uddhava is responding by explaining how Krishna appeared in this world, because devotees do not like to talk about the Lord's disappearance, but they're most happy to talk about the Lord's appearance, because the disappearance of the Lord creates the ecstasy of love and separation. But that is very painful. And the appearance of the Lord awakens the ecstasy of meeting the Lord. And we find how Swarup Damodar Goswami, Ramananda Rai, when they were in Gambira with Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu,
When the Lord was experiencing the ecstasies of separation, they would chant particular slokas and kirtans and bhajans just corresponding to the Lord's mood, because they were empowered to know the Lord's heart. This is a very great, wonderful blessing. When we actually know what is the Lord's heart, what is spiritual master's heart, what is the great Vaishnava's heart, that to have that understanding is truly the greatest mercy of the Lord. It is only when the Lord Himself reveals it. So these were the two most exalted and intimate associates of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they would chant just the proper slokas according to the Lord's desire to pacify Him in His intimate love in separation. And here we find that Uddhava, he did not want to speak of the Lord's disappearance. He wanted to speak of the Lord's appearance. And how the Lord appeared. Why the Lord appeared. Brahma is the father of all living entities within this universe. Brahma is also the spiritual master, original spiritual master of all living beings within this universe. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adhakavaye. He was the first person to receive transcendental knowledge and disseminate through disciplic succession. But even Brahma, who is so great and so powerful, when there is serious problems within his creation, even he is helpless to do anything much about it. Even he has to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is greatness. Real greatness is humility. And the essence of humility is to understand that whoever we are helpless without the mercy of the Lord. There are people in this world who have a few little mystical powers. They may be able to read your mind. They may be able to create some gold or some ashes. They may be able to change their forms even. Little powers. What powers does Brahma have? Brahma can create the universe. He can create all the planets and all the species of life within the universe. He could live for 311,040,000,000,000 years without getting sick. What kind of a mystic power does Brahma have? Recently, one person who claims, or whether he claims or whatever, millions claim that he's God. Someone came to hurt him, and he ran and hid in his room and locked the doors and called for the guards, and the guards came and there was a big scuffle. We never see Krishna. He will hide and run in the room from Mother Yashoda, but never from a demon. Have we ever seen it? When Mother Yashoda finds out Krishna has stolen butter, then he will start crying and trembling, and he'll hide into a room and lock the door and everything like that. But when the demons come, he tightens his belt and he exercises his arms and he looks at the demon and says, "Ah, you have come to disturb me and my devotees. Today you will visit the house of death." And then he will destroy them. Sometimes he destroys them by just walking in their mouth when they're big serpents and expanding himself so huge, bigger than the sky, to kill them. Putana, he sucked her breast, sucked all her milk out, even though she was 12 miles long. What kind of person is that?
how these persons would have run and hid if a 12-mile Rakshasi came to get them. There's some tiny little insignificant dacoits and running and hiding. God? Is that God? This is Leela. This is the Leela of the Lord, they say. That is not the Leela of the Lord. When Agha-asura came, when Arista-asura came, big, big bull. The hump on his back was hovering in the hovering with clouds like a mountain. And as he was running, there was massive earthquake. And women who were pregnant were having miscarriages. And he was screaming with such terrible, hideous sounds that it was breaking people's ears. And his eyes, how big were his eyes? His eyes were probably bigger than this building. If he was so big, his eyes were massive. And they were staring bright red in anger. And his nostrils were probably bigger than this building also. And there was hot, angry air just pouring out of it like terrible winds. And this way he was running into Vrindavan. And what to speak of his horns? They were directly pointed at Krishna. And he was running with all his speed. And Krishna, he just stood there with one arm leaning on one of his friend's shoulders. And very calmly saying, "Come, you rascal, and you will die." And he just picked, threw him once, and threw him twice, and kicked him. Just a few kicks from Krishna's little beautiful lotus feet. Those lotus-like feet that the gopis, when they would hear that Krishna would be going barefoot in the forest, they would cry all day long. They would weep all day long, thinking, "Oh, Krishna might step on a little stone, or he may step on a piece of grass that may not be so soft, or he may step upon a little stick." And his feet are so soft that when we touch it to the softest part of our bodies, we consider it may hurt him. But that same little foot, Aristasura did not see it as being very soft. One little kick, and its eyeballs popped out, and he started kicking violently, and urine and stool started pouring out of his body, probably vomiting blood, and he died. Hare Krishna. That is Krishna. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, the God of all gods. What is Brahma compared to these little so-called gods of this world? India is full of gurus who say, "I am God." Some of them even said, "You are God too. But you will not get entrance into your godhood unless you worship me. I am the God that makes everyone God." But Brahma, he's never afraid of demons. He can't do anything about them necessarily. But Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Kamsa, he could not destroy them. He could not stop them. But he was never threatened by them directly because they had no access to his power or abode. So when the demigods and the rishis and the sages approach Brahma, who has such intensive, immense mystic powers and such greatness, he will not say, "I am God, I will protect you. Worship me. offer your homage unto me. Brahma says, I am the insignificant eternal servant of Krishna. If you are in trouble, I will take you to Krishna. Let us all go to pray for Krishna. This is Guru. Guru will never say, I can save you. Guru will say, I will teach you how to pray to Krishna. I will teach you how to attract Krishna. And Krishna will save you. There is no one else that can save us except Krishna. And the Guru is the representative in whom and from whom Krishna descends into our life. The Jivatma, the spirit soul conditioned in this material existence, Krishna descends through the agency of the spiritual master to embrace that person and bring him back to the lotus feet of Krishna. So in this way we find that Brahma, who is the greatest of the great, let any of the so-called gods of this world demonstrate anything in comparison to Lord Brahma. Brahma doesn't create a few little trinkets. Brahma creates planets and all species of life. That is Brahma. And yet he is considering that when I forget Krishna, I think I'm very great. In the darkness of night, a firefly makes a little light and thinks I am lightening the universe. But in the presence of the sun, the firefly realizes I am insignificant. One who understands Krishna understands how we are eternally, completely depending on Krishna. So Brahma, when he wants to do real welfare to the earth, he calls for Krishna. He understands whatever powers I have are Krishna's powers. Krishna is Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, Suradam Sarva Bhutanam. He is the proprietor of everything and is the only real friend of all living beings. And it is explained that on the gracious prayers of Brahma, who led all the devatas and sages to pray to Krishna, Krishna descended in the prison house of Kamsa as the son of Vasudev and Devaki. It is explained that when Krishna appeared as the son of Vasudev and Devaki, it was so wonderful. He appeared in this dark prison, outside of the womb of Devaki, with his beautiful, beautiful form of Vishnu. What child is born like this? He just appeared outside of her womb. And he had beautiful lotus eyes and a complexion like a dark cloud and beautiful, fully grown black hair scattered in such a nice way. And he had a nice crown and the Kastuba Mani decorating his chest. And he had beautiful, beautiful jewelry and yellow garments. He had wonderful, wonderful celestial garlands and four arms holding the conch shell and the club, the chakra and the lotus flower. And as he was looking upon Vasudeva and Devaki with his merciful glance, they became filled with ecstatic love. And Vasudeva was astonished. He was filled with wonder and ecstatic jubilation. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains
There were four reasons why Vasudev was so full of the most wonderful ecstatic joy. He was amazed. What were those things that amazed Vasudev? One, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, actually, the first reason was this, that he had no fear of taking his birth in the prison of Kamsa. Kamsa already killed, he murdered ruthlessly 6 children consecutively. And this child was willing to fearlessly just appear right in the dark, terrible dungeon of Kamsa. Why in the world would the Lord want to appear in a prison? It's the place no one likes to be. And Vasudev and Devaki, they lived in that prison. They suffered in that prison. They knew what a hellish place it was. And yet the Lord was adventing within this world, within a prison, with no fear of the terrible Kamsa. This amazed Vasudev. And the next thing was, although he is the supreme controller, he is the absolute transcendental source of everything. He has no beginning and no end. He's the ultimate father of all living entities. Yet, he appeared from the womb of his own wife, Devaki. How wonderful that is. And the third thing, although he's a newborn child, just born, seconds ago, his hair is fully grown. What baby has full-grown hair? It takes months till their hair is grown. Not only did he have full-grown hair, but he had 4 arms, and he was holding the symbols of Vishnu. And he was born with a golden helmet and wonderful jewelry and garlands and beautiful silk and golden cloth. He was amazed with ecstatic joy to see this newborn infant appearing in this way. And the fourth reason was this, that Vishnu is the eternal worshipable Lord of Vasudev. His life and soul, the object of all of his prayers, the object of all of his service, the only goal of his life, his supreme master. And he's appearing as his son. The ultimate master and worshipable deity of my life has become my son. For this, Vasudev was transcendentally happy in great amazement at the merciful nature of the Lord. And Vasudev was in prison. What could he do to celebrate in prison? But he wanted to celebrate. So in his mind, he immediately gave 10,000 cows to the Brahmins. Hare Krishna. And it is explained herein by our great acharyas that the mind is the sixth sense. Manashashtan indriyani prakriti stani karashati. Krishna says the 6 senses which include the mind. So when we perform some activity, we perform it with our senses. There's the working senses and the knowledge acquiring senses. Knowledge acquiring senses are the eyes and the ears and the nose and the tongue and the sense of touch. And the working senses are the arms and the legs and the evacuating senses, like that. So whatever we are doing in service to the Lord, we are doing it with our senses. If you want to offer wonderful foodstuffs, you use your working senses and your knowledge acquiring senses to produce the offerings and to take it to the altar and offer it to the Lord. If we're going to give in charity, everything we do is with our senses. But the mind is also one of the senses. Therefore, anything we do in our mind in the service to Krishna, Krishna sees it as good as doing it with your eyes and your ears and your hands and your legs and everything else. Because Krishna is accepting the offering of love. So therefore, when Vasudeva was offering 10,000 cows to the Brahmins in charity, ultimately, why do we offer cows to Brahmins in charity? To please Krishna. If the Brahmins are pleased, Krishna is pleased. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmani Hitaya Cha Jagatyataya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Nama Natevidu Swaratakatim Hivishnum. The only goal of our life is to please Krishna in every situation. Why do we serve our Guru? To please Krishna. Why do we serve Vaishnavas? To please Krishna. Why do we respect Brahmins? To please Krishna. Whatever we do in our life is to please Krishna. This is the method. The only means by which we can please Krishna is by pleasing his representatives. So Vasudeva was so much pleasing Krishna by giving all this charity away. It was real. Because what is reality? Reality is that truth which is eternal. Everything else is illusory. And the eternal truth is that we are the eternal servants of Krishna. Krishna says, when you understand real truth, you will understand all living beings are in me and they are mine. They are part of me. So truth is very simple. Service to Krishna is truth. Everything else is part of an illusion. Illusion meaning it is there, but we do not understand what it is. Everything is the property of Krishna. Truth means to understand that. To think anything is yours or anyone else's is illusion. The example of the rope and the snake. The rope is real, and the snake is real. But to think the rope is a snake is an illusion. And similarly, to think that the snake is a rope is a big illusion, very dangerous illusion. So to think that everything exists in reality, but to not understand how it is meant for Krishna's satisfaction is an illusion. So, if in our hearts we are making an offering to Krishna of 10,000 cows to the Brahmins, that is perfect reality. Why? Because it is done in a spirit of truth, devotion to Krishna. At the time of death, we may be in a completely helpless condition. We may not have the physical strength to do much service. But if we can simply worship Krishna in our hearts, and remember Krishna, then we will achieve the ultimate fulfillment of the goal of life. So in our life, we must practice for that moment of death, because it is coming, and it is coming very soon, sooner than we expect. It may come today, or it may come when we are 108 years old. But talk to any old person, 90-year-old, 100-year-old person. They all say, my life has gone by like a flash. Where have those years flown by? Death is coming very soon. We do not know. This world in Kali Yuga is such a dangerous place. In previous ages, you were more or less guaranteed to live out your life. 10,000 years, 1,000 years, 100,000 years. And even then, people realized how time flies. In Satyayuga, when one was 99,999 years old, and just about to die when he reaches 100,000, he was thinking, how my life has just gone by like a flash. Kali Yuga, practically no one can even live to 100 years. That's the quota. That's the quota in Kali Yuga. Who lives to 100 years? And if they're like a vegetable in a refrigerator. No, not in the refrigerator, because they're getting all rotten. If they were in the refrigerator, they'd stay a little more fresh. But who? So many diseases. Any minute some disease just comes. Finished. The heart stops beating. Finished. So many dangers. Bombs. Every city of the world, practically, there are bombs, nuclear bombs, pointed directly at. And all someone has to do is just press one button. Just... and everybody in the city will be annihilated. This great city of Bombay. Why it's called Bombay, maybe there's a reason. But we know for sure that there is someone just across the sea who has a button, and there's big bombs pointed directly at this city. And all they have to do is just become a little crazy and press the button. There's reports, we were discussing with some devotees once, that this happened many times. Because these days, things are so computerized. And this computerization of society is sometimes very dangerous. That there's computerized anti-missile radar. And if they see a missile coming, immediately they give the signal that every missile goes to attack that particular country. At one time, the former Soviet Union and the United States of America were big, big enemies. Now, people know that actually the bombs were not just pointed between America and Russia. Because what happens if Russia shoots a missile at America, then immediately, within a matter of seconds, as soon as it's detected coming, not even landing, as soon as it's detected coming, then every city, every military base, everywhere in Russia, thousands of missiles will immediately be launched to destroy.
And as soon as they catch one of them coming, every city and every place in America, the missiles are immediately launched to destroy America. But both countries, they knew if they destroy each other, then some other country would come up. So they actually had missiles to every city in the world. Every major city in the world. Because if we're going to get destroyed, everyone has to get destroyed.
Hare Krishna.
This is reality. Even if you're living in Sydney, Australia, if America and Russia has a war, Sydney will be bombed to death. Lagos, Nigeria, doesn't matter. So what happened is the computer got mixed up and detected a missile coming. So all of a sudden, all the missiles in Nevada and Arizona and everywhere, they just started coming out of the ground. Big nuclear warheads. And everything was happening, and there was red lights on everywhere. Seconds away from launching everything. Then they found out, somehow or other, they found out within seconds that there was no missile. It was a virus in the computer or something. It was an error. That little computerized error was almost the destruction of practically the whole human civilization of the world today, as we know it. And yet we're thinking everything is very nice. We have our 50-year master plan for our business, and everything will be very good. I'll build my house. It may take 10 years to build my house, but eventually I will enjoy it very nicely. We do not know. Now there's bombs in fanatic people's hands. Some astrologer says, you should push the button. It'll just start pushing the buttons. Millions of people die. So this is Kali Yuga. Such a dangerous place. And forget bombs. You drive in the car and some truck driver in the New York Times. I want to tell you how famous your great land of India is. In the New York Times, famous newspaper of America, there was an article how 95% of all the truck drivers in India are under the intoxication of alcohol beyond what is safe for driving. Hare Krishna. So just driving on the roads, one of these people. You can be a perfect driver, but if they just fall asleep or space out immediately, finished. Such a dangerous world. Vasudev, he understood that there was no danger because he had Krishna. And actually, when death does come, the only thing we have is our ability to remember Krishna. We may not be able to cook 108 offerings of food with him with our hands. We may not be able to go out and distribute 10,000 books. We may not be able to play harmonium and sing nice kirtan. At the time of death, all we'll have is the ability to just remember Krishna in our heart and chant his holy names. So ultimately, what is the purpose of our distributing of books? What is our purpose of making offerings and worshiping the deities and doing everything in our life? It should be for the purpose
of pleasing Krishna. Pleasing Krishna by developing a taste to hear and chant his glories and to remember him within the core of our hearts. Nothing else matters. Nothing else has any significance. Who cares about the prestige of this world? Who cares about the money and wealth of this world? Who cares about trying to be the false owner of property in this world? What is it all? It's all simply useless nonsense. It's all illusion. If it is not used for the purpose of developing a taste for hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Is there any questions? Yes.
Haribol. Lord Krishna appeared inside the jail of Kansa as a four-handed form, you just mentioned, of Vishnu. Then later on he assumed the two-handed form, immediately at that time. Just wanted to know.
Krishna appeared in his four-handed form and he spoke to Vasudeva and Devaki. First they offered prayers to him. Beautiful prayers. And then he explained that you have been my father several times. Long ago, he said to Devaki and Vasudev, your names were Prishni and Sutapa. And you performed tapasya. I believe it was 12,000 celestial years. They performed tapasya. They only ate leaves that fell from the trees. And they subjected to their bodies to the bitter cold of the winter, the bitter heat of the summer, the rain of the rainy season. They were constantly fasting and meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead to please him. And ultimately, after performing such severe tapasya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared to Sutapa and Prishni in the same form of four-armed Narayan and said, what benediction can I give you? And they said, we want a son just like you. And Vishnu said, there's no one just like me. So I became your son. In the great incarnation called Prishni Garbha. Srila Prabhupada explains how by performing tapasya, we can actually achieve Krishna consciousness. Without tapasya, we cannot please Krishna. Human life is meant for tapasya. Tapo divyam putra kayena satvam sudyedyasam brahma sokyam dvanantam. Without tapasya, there can be no real happiness. Human life is not meant for sense gratification. Nayam deho deha bhajam naloke kastan kamanaha vidbhujam jay. Sense gratification is available for dogs and hogs who enjoy eating stool. Whether you're eating stool or eating some nice restaurant food, it is all sense gratification. Human life is meant for tapasya. And what is tapasya? Tapasya, those activities that please Krishna. And in order to perform activities to please Krishna in the beginning stages, we have to somehow or other put aside our own selfish desires. Because the conditioned soul has so many selfish desires for gross or subtle sense enjoyment. To put them aside to do what pleases Krishna.
That is tapasya.
In the age of Kali Yuga, the greatest tapasya is to chant at least 16 rounds of Maha Mantra every day. To come together in the mornings to chant and dance with devotees. To hear Srimad Bhagavatam, to follow the four regulative principles. This is tapasya. We may not want to do that. We may have so many other comforts and so many other desires. But we do it anyway.
That is tapasya.
That is equal to 12,000 celestial years of eating leaves in this age of Kali Yuga. It is better, in fact. So because of this tapasya, Krishna was pleased and he became their son. And in the next birth, Lord Vishnu told Vasudeva and Devaki, you were Kashyapa and Aditi. And then also you performed tapasya to please me. And I appeared as your son, Upendra. And because I was in the form of a little tiny dwarf, I was also known as Vamana. And now you are being my mother and father for the third time in this world as Vasudeva and Devaki. But this time is special. Because this time I am appearing in my original form. The previous two times I appeared in my expansions. But this time I am appearing in my original form of Krishna. In fact, you are eternally my mother and father. But now you should take me across to the village of Gokul and exchange me for the little baby daughter that was born of Nanda and Yashoda. And then Devaki prayed in her motherly affection that please become like a little child. She wanted to have that motherly love for Krishna. It's hard to have motherly love for Narayan. But Krishna, especially Bal Gopal, very nice. How he fulfills the innermost desires of his devotees. And also in her motherly way, although she was seeing him as Narayan himself, because of her motherly affection, she was still afraid that Kamsa may hurt you if he sees you as Vishnu, because he'll know that you have come. Who can understand the thinking of a person with motherly love? Everyone who has mothers knows that sometimes mothers just don't make sense in their... In my own life, I'm traveling to so many places. My mother, father, they don't know what I'm doing, where I'm going, who I am, anything. But if I come to visit them, almost 50 years old, if I come to visit them, if I go out and I come home a little late, they're worrying, ready to call the police. Where is our son? Where is our son? Why are you late? Don't you know we're worrying? I come home a couple days a year. You never worry. I'm here if you worry. Yes, yes, because you're not on time. You said you'd be home at 9 o'clock, my son. Mothers are mothers. It is a special gift of God that they have that love within their hearts. So Devaki is thinking, here is the forearm form of Vishnu, but he's my son. And Kamsa's thinking that Vishnu will come to kill him, so he'll recognize him. So better you disguise yourself in another form. So anyways, for so many reasons, Krishna manifested himself as a little tiny baby just to fulfill the heart of Devaki and Vasudev. And ultimately, to fulfill the great longing desire of Nanda and Yashoda. He became a little baby just to give pleasure to his devotees and just to experience the ultimate pleasure of giving pleasure to his devotees. And as little Krishna was born by his yogamaya potency, all the doors opened. Everyone in Kamsa's kingdom fell asleep. Vasudev took Krishna to Gokul. Ananta Shesha came as an umbrella because it was raining. The river Jamuna opened up so that Vasudev could easily cross. And there he exchanged the little baby girl Yogamaya for the child Krishna. Yes.
Maharaj, this is in reference to your Thursday class. You said we could ask a question today. And this is... you mentioned, due to causeless mercy of the Lord, we do get Krishna consciousness. And people who become devotees, is somewhere by the pure devotee or the causeless mercy, we become devotees. But during their spiritual life, sometimes you find they face so many obstacles, they are disheartened, or if they leave Krishna consciousness, so what happens to the mercy, or how is it that we pray for the mercy that we stay and do our spiritual sadhana and everything in a proper fashion? So, or how do we pray for that at the same time? How do we make sure that we are in line with the mercy of the Lord?
The mercy of the Lord comes in many ways to help us. The first form of mercy is the Lord directs us to the association of devotees. Then His mercy comes through His instructions that descend through disciplic succession through the spiritual master and great Vaishnavas. That is His mercy. His instructions. To accept the mercy of the Lord means to surrender to the instructions of the Lord. To not follow the instructions of Guru and Krishna is to reject the mercy of the Lord. That's all. So the mercy is the instructions. When people would come and ask Srila Prabhupada for blessings, he would say, "My instructions are my blessings." This kind of blessings is not going to save you from birth and death. The blessings are the words that come out of His mouth. And if we don't follow the instructions, we reject the mercy. And if we accept and follow the instructions, we receive the mercy. So the mercy is in the instruction. But then, by Krishna's mercy, He helps us to take shelter of those instructions. And how He does that, He is within your heart and He knows exactly what you need. And therefore sometimes He puts obstacles on the path. Sometimes bitter tests. Sometimes very sweet, nice arrangements. It is all His mercy. If Krishna arranges such a wonderful, beautiful facility to serve, that is His mercy. It is all to be utilized to follow His instructions. But sometimes He takes everything away. Sometimes He turns everyone against you. Sometimes He makes you sick and diseased. Sometimes you're downtrodden and all your efforts are a failure. That is also His mercy. Are you willing to continue following His instructions even now? Are you willing in this circumstance to take shelter helplessly of following those instructions? That is His mercy. His mercy is helping you to accept His mercy in so many merciful ways. That is why he is all merciful. And what is the greatest of all instructions? To always take shelter of the holy names of Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare.
And if he puts misery or death itself right in front of you, it is his mercy, because he's giving you the chance to cry out his holy name and become perfect. But if you do not cry out the holy name, then you reject all the mercy. Are you willing to maintain your vows? Are you willing to understand only Krishna can save me? Generally, we very much require suffering to take the mercy of the Lord seriously, which comes in the form of his instruction. Is there any other questions?
Maharaj, in connection to the what you just said, that our fate depends at the time of death. The verse in the Bhagavad Gita which says, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage unto me. I'd like you to explain me the last phrase, offer your homage unto me. How do we go about that?
That means you bow down to Krishna. Offer your homage. It means to bow down to Krishna with your body, to bow down and humble yourself to Krishna through your words, to bow down and humble to Krishna with your mind. To offer your homage means to glorify and to humble yourself before another. We should do that with our body, our mind, our words, and our life. With our body, we bow down and do seva. With our words, we praise Krishna. With our minds, we remember Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.